Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
And welcome and good morning. My name is Harry Miller.
And I'm Debbie Verney.
And Debbie and I are two of the attorneys. We are with the Herzog Law Firm, in conveniently located in Saratoga Springs, Clifton Park, Albany, and Kingston, New York. And we are here each Saturday morning. Some combination of two of us from the estate planning group to talk to you, hopefully enlighten you, mostly to answer your questions, and try to clear up confusion and issues and questions you have about estate planning, Medicaid planning, asset protection, estate administration, titling assets, making gifts, all that good stuff. So Debbie and I would love to take your calls for the next hour here at Magic 590, and you can reach us in the studio by picking up your phone and dialing 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Anyway, morning, Debbie. How is everything?
Morning, Harry. How are you doing? That's good. We were just talking about it. I woke up this morning and everything was wet, and I was like, wow, it rained overnight, and who knew, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's nice and dry and even almost a little sunny. Not quite. I mean, it's supposed to be cloudy today, I don't know, but right now, it's pretty decent here. So,
nice.
Yes. Debbie is housed in Saratoga, and our Saratoga office, by the way, just to clue you in, is a wonderful place to make an appointment to come in and have your estate plan reviewed, especially during the month of August. You could get a late morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock appointment with Debbie, you know, get your estate plan reviewed, and then hop on over to the track. We're not that far away. Have a nice lunch, bet a couple of races. What a wonderful day, don't you think?
Boy, that's a great idea. I think I should go get my stuff looked at again, even though we just did it a few months ago.
It is the August place to be, is it not?
It is.
It is.
I've got to answer the phone. I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, we have a lovely office. We have, we'll give you a nice cup of coffee and make you comfortable and I know you people are in the Saratoga region who have not reviewed your estate plan in the last 5 years. It is definitely time to get it done because, you know, as we were talking before we went on the air, summer seems to be quickly rolling to a close. It's only like a month before Labor Day, but as Debbie was saying, we didn't have much of a summer. Mostly it just rained.
And we do,
true,
let me jump in. We do have a caller. We have Paul and Troy.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Morning. The question is, I'm a senior citizen with about $50,000 in my checking account. I have three daughters. They're going to survive me. Is it better off that I distribute that money to my daughters before I depart? Or you think the state will do it fairly or take all of it for tax purposes?
Well, that's a great question. So do you have a house, too, or just the money in your account?
Yeah, I have a house, too.
So do you have a will?
Yeah, and I had my IRA with the bank, you know, distributed to the three daughters, but that's being dissipated. Each year they take $3,000 out of my IRA and put it in my savings account.
Okay.
So the majority of it is now in the savings account, and the IRA is being dissipated.
Okay, so are your three daughters the beneficiaries of your IRA?
Yes.
And are they beneficiaries on your checking account?
I haven't done that. I didn't know if that was necessary. My wife was on there also, but she passed away 2 years ago. Now it's just me and a large Labrador dog living at home.
So when's the last time you did your will or looked at it?
Oh, a couple of years ago at the bank, Pioneer Bank.
Okay. So what I would suggest is make sure that your kids are your beneficiaries under your will, right? and also make sure that they're all beneficiaries on your account. The state's not going to come in and take your assets unless you're in a nursing home. And unless you have over $5 million, you're probably not going to be paying any estate tax, right? So your kids wouldn't pay that whenever you pass away. So what you might want to do is just make sure that your will's updated. Do you have a power of attorney?
Yes, my oldest daughter, Pamela.
Okay, so that's good. So I would just go in, make sure that your documents are up to date, make sure that everything's either joint or has a beneficiary, and then the only thing that would have to be probated to distribute would be your house.
I'll say the house was worth $100,000 and they sold it, and then how would that work then, this?
So your will, who's your executor under your will?
Oldest daughter, Pamela.
Pamela, okay. So then what Pamela would do is, Pamela, after you passed away, we'd have to petition the court to have her appointed as executor. And once she's appointed, then she could sell the house and distribute the house according to your wishes, whatever it says in your will.
Yeah, I had decided three ways with three daughters.
So that would be her job after you pass away, to petition the court to get appointed. Then when she's appointed, she would be able to sell the house and distribute the money to the other kids. The only other alternative you have is if you wanted to do a trust, then she wouldn't have to probate your will. Basically, if you passed away, she could call up the realtor, put the sign in the yard, and sell it, as opposed to having to go through the courts. But that's strictly up to you.
The trust has to be done through an attorney?
It does usually have to be done through an attorney. I've seen some done on the internet, but they weren't real good.
No, I don't want to get bollocked up with that internet because I might lose everything.
You don't even know sometimes if you're doing a New York trust, you could be doing one from Iowa or California. It's
exactly. You're Taiwan, China.
But a revocable trust is a nice little device that avoids probate for your family because, I mean, everything's in the family here, so, you know, there's no need to spend a couple of $1,000 doing a probate proceeding necessarily, which is a court supervised distribution of your house when it's going to your three kids. So, you know, if that's something you're interested in, you could always come into one of the offices and sit down for an hour for an appointment and just review everything. An initial consultation with someone like you, we do not charge you a fee to come in and talk to us and pick our brains for an hour. So, you know, if it's something that interests you, you can always call the office
give me your number, sir, and I'll call you.
The office number. The office number is 518-465-7581. And if you call, we actually have a real live human being receptionist. So you won't have to push button number one, button number two. And she can put you through to Debbie or me or someone else. And we could even just talk over the phone if you don't want to come in the office or, you know, depending where you're located. We have four offices, so, you know, might be helpful.
I live in Troy, sir. Is there one near Troy or Albany?
In Albany, yeah. We're in Albany in Corporate Woods, right off of I-90.
Oh, yeah, I know where that is, too.
Yeah. And the other thing just to point out is, you know, this summer in June, the state legislature changed the power of attorney form. So the one that we're using now is slightly different than older ones, and depending upon how long ago you did yours, you might want to bring it up to date. It's not that the one you have is still good and can still be used, but what happens over time is, the people at banks and investment places are used to seeing the newer forms, and so sometimes the older form, while it's legally valid, can create some time delays for the family if you need to get something done and signed. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff we'll review when you come in and talk to us.
I really appreciate your information, sir, because I'm kind of lost on it. I'm not senile or anything yet, but I don't want to get Alzheimer's.
I can tell you that, but you're not alone. You know, this is not, you are like most people. This stuff is a little hard. It's confusing to people, and you read through these documents and you say, what the heck does that mean? And so we'll try to help you through that process. And you know, the other thing you might want to do is maybe want to bring Pamela with you. Maybe you might want to bring one of your daughters or all of them so they understand what's going on, too. I mean, because the whole thing is kind of like a family affair in a way. And that way everybody understands what's happening. They know that Dad has a will. They know where to find the will, if God forbid, when you know, when you pass away. And things become less confusing to people. That's also, we're here to help you try to, you know.
I appreciate your clarification on these things, sir, because I'm a little bit up in, you know, lost on these things, the legal matters. And it's really good. I'll call later today or Monday.
Well, Monday, there's nobody in the office on the weekend, but Monday you can call, yeah.
And but the only thing with Pamela, the oldest daughter, she's in Buffalo, and she only comes to Saratoga or Glens Falls for her daughter plays in softball tournaments. Mm-hmm. The other daughter is in South Carolina, and the third daughter is in Boston.
See, yeah, not, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about
them all on the same table.
Well, you know, the other thing we can do, sir, is we can set up a conference call, all right? So they could be in Buffalo and Boston, and they could still be on a phone call in our conference room in Albany, you know? We have conference capabilities, so they could all sit in and listen in on the conversation if you would like them to.
Well, that, I appreciate that, sir. I didn't know that. You clarified several things. I appreciate that.
That's what we're here for. All right. You take care and have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.
You too, sir. Thank you very much for your courtesy.
And we have another caller. We have Susan in Albany.
Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. I have a situation where my parents had passed away, and there's several beneficiaries of the siblings. And do they have to? You said that the executor's job is to sell the property. The house, whatever, to this last gentleman. Well, we have property, and my mom died without a will. Does that matter? Now we have all these documents to sign. Would it, if she had a will, would that stop all these documents? Because when she was alive, we sold her house, and there was no documents. Just the executor was responsible for it. Now, why would all of a sudden, now that we're closing and selling the property, and it's out of the state, and we all live in different states, why would we have to sign all these documents? And are we all entitled to go to the closing, even though we don't live in that state? And do we get to see a purchase agreement before the property closes? Is that our right?
Wow, that's a lot of questions.
That is a lot of questions. So.
You go ahead.
I was going to say... So mom passed away. I just want to clarify. So mom passed away.
Right.
Yes. Okay, and she owned the house when she passed away?
Well, we already had sold the house when she was alive, but I'm talking about that's a property out of state that we're trying to sell.
Okay, so, but she owned it when she passed away?
Yes, she did.
Okay, and was there an administrator appointed? Because you said she didn't have a will.
Yes, there was a law guardian.
What state is it? Where is this real estate located? What state is it in?
It's in Florida.
Oh, now Florida would be, if in Florida, the person who manages the estate is called a personal representative. And if your mother didn't have a will in Florida and New York, she died without a will, all of her property, including the real estate, would pass in equal shares to all of her living children and the children of any deceased, like your grandchildren of any deceased children. But somebody would be appointed. I don't think they're called a law guardian. But whatever they are, they're the person in charge of the estate. Now,
yeah, there is an executor that's been appointed. It's my brother.
Right. Okay, well, then he's in charge of the estate, and he would be in charge of selling the house. He would have the legal authority to list the house and sell it. I mean, certainly, as a beneficiary of one of your mother's children, you would certainly be able to see the contract to sell the property to make sure that, for instance, your brother is selling it for something that approximates its fair market value. You know,
right?
Are you all on the same page? The family here. We got brothers and sisters who are basically getting along with each other, or do we have issues among brothers.
Well,
he's
the executor, and he says he tries to be very evasive. But I just asked. They said that they won't have a purchase agreement before the closing, but that doesn't make any sense because you have to know how much money you're going to pay when you go to a closing.
That's correct. You would have that's correct. But
there has to be purchase agreement that I should be able to see. And so, I mean, does all the beneficiaries have to sign certain documents, or is that all in the hands of the executor? Does that have anything to do with that she didn't have a will that we have to sign? Like, for example, we have to sign a warranty deed, just certain papers.
Wait a second, because we can't do a consultation on the radio here. But generally, first of all, the property is in Florida, and so anything we tell you, if you wanted to pursue something, first of all, you'd have to get an attorney in Florida to handle this for you, because we're not licensed to practice law in Florida. But what I do know is, if in fact a personal representative has been appointed for your mother's estate, it should not be necessary ordinarily for the beneficiaries to sign a deed. The administrator or the executor would sign the deed, the money would be paid to the estate, and then the executor would have the legal obligation to distribute the money to the beneficiaries in accordance with Florida law. When a person dies without a will, the state says who gets the money, okay? And it's not the state, unless you don't have your relatives. But normally, If your mother's widowed, and she has kids, the kids are going to split everything equally, and the executor is also legally accountable to you as a beneficiary for what he did, you know. So,
yeah.
But if you are unhappy with something, I don't know that we can help you. I can tell you generally what the laws are, because we do a lot of work. Many of our clients live in Florida, and so we have some familiarity with those laws, but we're not allowed to give you legal advice about Florida law because we're not licensed to practice there. But if you had an interest in pursuing this, you could call the office. Debbie and I belong to an organization called the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys.
Okay.
And these are lawyers who basically spend most of their practice doing estate planning, estate administration when people pass away. And depending on where the property is in Florida, we could give you the names of some lawyers you could call there and inquire about what your rights are, and then you'd make a decision whether or not to engage them or retain them, okay?
But there was one document that said seller's title affidavit. So I just felt really weird about signing that without much explanation. They're saying that this is standard and that all the other siblings have signed it, but I'm not at the closing, so I wouldn't know.
Does your brother have an attorney who's handling the estate for him?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's the person you need to talk to initially. I would call that person
next week.
Should
be able to tell any of the beneficiaries their rights?
They should be. I mean, you know, would be no reason that the law firm wouldn't communicate with you about what's going on in your mother's estate, I don't think, unless there's some objection. I mean, I can't tell you, man, but, you know, what I've told you is about all we can do at this point. I don't think, do you have anything to add to that, Deb?
No, I just think that she should reach out to the attorney for the estate because, as you said, the executor or administrator, whomever it is down in Florida, has a responsibility to her, too, and the attorney's going to want everything signed off and able to sell the house. I know that the title companies, especially here in New York, they have gotten really particular about what has to be signed for them to ensure title. So that may be the issue, that they're having the administrator sign off on everything, and then they want all the beneficiaries to sign off to make sure that they have clear title to transfer it. But I would definitely call the attorney in Florida. And if you don't get the information that you want, you could hire an attorney in Florida, but it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the executor should be able to tell me everything, what has to be done. And I have the right to go to the closing, like, virtually, or?
I don't know.
Florida.
That I don't know. Normally, the beneficiaries would not go to the closing, I don't think.
Right.
But, you know. And Florida,
Usually don't have a real estate attorney that does a closing. Usually it's a title company that does the closing in Florida.
See, like here in New York, everybody goes to closing. You all sit in a room and you exchange the deeds and the money and all that stuff, and the title company wraps up, and you have lawyers or whatever. In Florida, usually they close everything in escrow. So the deed stuff that you're selling, the deed stuff would be sent to the title company. The people who are buying the property would send in the money, and then they just switch it around. Half the time, there isn't even a closing. In Florida, it's actually a much more efficient way to handle real estate transfers, but that's not how we do it here. But
one last question: if there was a trust established, would this have resolved all this headache of worrying about what documents would have to sign, and what would be different if a trust was set up?
Probably nothing, except you would not have had to go through the court-supervised administration proceeding if your mother had a trust. If she died without a will, then the executor, probably the administrator, would get appointed, and that's a court proceeding. And,
okay.
You know, and in Florida, you know, so if your mother had a trust and your brother was the trustee, he could have simply sold the property, you know, collected the money, distributed it out per the terms of the trust, and you wouldn't have it to go through the probate courts in Florida. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much for your help.
Hey, thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Listening.
Have
a great
weekend.
Bye-bye.
Wow, it's difficult to, you know, do different states, different laws, because you really don't know what's going on, and that's why she really should just reach out to the attorney if she's not getting any information from her brother.
Yeah, you and I both know, Debbie, that when problems arise in administering an estate, a parent or whoever it is, the problems arise largely because of a lack of communication and openness between the executor, whoever's managing the estate, and the beneficiaries. And this is why it's so careful to select who the executor of the estate is, because the minute information isn't freely shared, when somebody says, oh, well, just sign this stuff because it's typical, this is what was usually done, you know, it's not a good enough explanation for why these things need to be done. So you tell them why they need to be done. I mean, it may be perfectly normal, but as with the caller, they're not sure what's going on, and so this is when we have people say, well, why am I doing this? Why do I have to sign all these papers? What do all these papers mean that I'm signing? So it's a perfectly reasonable request on her part, and I think what has to happen is some communication channels need to be opened up to clear up the questions and make her feel comfortable with whatever she's being asked to do. It ain't that hard.
Anyway. No, but I have a closing right now where the property was in the trust, right? And the trustee is selling the property, and they want affidavits from all of the beneficiaries of the trust that say that the trustee is still the trustee. Kind of interesting,
exactly.
Huh?
Exactly, yeah.
So,
and it could be, you know, there's lots of reasons these papers need to be signed, or may need to be signed, and hopefully she'll get some answers to her questions, I think, you know. I mean, part of the problem sometimes is people just don't know what questions they ought to be asking about. You know, what is a seller's affidavit of title? You know, you and I know that's a piece of paper that the title company wants that basically says, you know, any liens or judgments, but, you know. So, anyway, we would love to hear from you. We have had a very busy first half hour of the Estate Medicaid Planning Show at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900.
And we have another caller. We have Barbara from Saratoga.
Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. I have a will that, and I did a trust with you, and my will, I've just been thinking about this, is filed in Albany. Those that will be seeing to events after I pass live out of town. Now, I'm thinking that maybe, I know it's a safety procedure, supposedly, but how long does it take to get the will out of where it's filed with your firm in Albany?
Well, if it's filed with us, that means it's in our vault in Albany. So when someone passes away, generally the executor contacts our office, and a lot of times they'll schedule a time to come in and meet with us and go over everything and see what needs to be done. But, I mean, as soon as the executor needs the will, I mean, we have them come in and sign a release, and we obviously want to see the death certificate or an obit to make sure that you're actually gone before we give them your will. But they can come in and pick it up. It's in our vault in Albany. It's really not a big deal.
Yeah, but it's making me uncomfortable because it's there and they're away. And so...
Would it make you feel more comfortable if you had your original? I mean, you can pick up, if you, you said you live in Saratoga, I mean, if you want your original will, we would be happy to give it to you. But what you have to understand is if you pass away and they can't find your original will, they just assume that you've destroyed it, right? So that's why we generally keep the original documents in the vault in Albany. But it's your document. If you want it, I'd be happy to get it to Saratoga and have you drop by and pick it up at the Saratoga office or whatever works for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's just that I've been going through a bunch of outside of the will stuff, and it's just like a nightmare. And, of course, it's very difficult when you have family that does not live here.
Mm-hmm.
Understood. Understood, yeah. No, you can.
We keep the
will in our vault really for safekeeping, so it doesn't get lost. And as Debbie said, when you pass, your daughter, whoever the executor is, could come in the same day or the next day and pick up the original will if they needed to. I mean, the other option we don't usually do is the original will could be filed with the Saratoga County Surrogates Court. All right, and then the will would already be in the court if that would make you feel more comfortable, and then it wouldn't get lost, and your daughters could just go to the court and find out what needed to be done. So, well, however you want. I mean, if you want to just call the office and talk to Debbie, me, or whoever you met with originally when you did the estate plan, we'd be happy to help you out.
Okay, so do you feel? I mean, as those that present the will and you hopefully don't have probate, and because I've done everything, I think, with you, but you never know, that it's just as workable and safe to have it filed in the court. Does that save a step?
No, it doesn't save anything. It's just the will is being held in the custody of the court instead of the custody of your law firm. It doesn't change anything or make anything simpler or easier. It's all the same.
Oh, okay.
It's you, but you're the one we want to feel comfortable. Okay, we don't want you, you know, laying awake and going, oh my gosh, I wonder if my will is, you know, everything's okay. So that's why I suggest a phone call next week with one of us, and we can talk about it further, more than we can talk on the radio. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Okay.
All right. We are at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our break right here. We'll be back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate Medicaid Planning Hour coming up right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for,
options available for Medicaid planning, and more.
With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany,
West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs,
Executive Woods in Clifton Park,
and Flatbush Road in Kingston,
our attorneys are here to help you.
If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David,
Jane Marie Harry, or Debbie,
please call us during normal normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581.
Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131.
Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010.
And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405.
Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour. I'm Harry Miller.
I'm Debbie Verney.
And Debbie and I are with the Herzog Law Firm. We are two of the attorneys. We handle estate planning, Medicaid planning, asset protection planning. We do wills and trusts, advanced directives. We do all kinds of stuff. We administer estates when people pass away. And we've been chatting here for the first half hour about a variety of interesting issues that come up with respect to estate administration, with respect to all sorts of things like that. And we would love to hear from you during this next half hour. In the studio, you can be our next caller by picking up the phone and dialing us at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900.
So before we have another flurry of calls, because that was awesome, back to back, I did want to mention that we are still doing webinars, right? So we have webinar Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. We have Wednesday, August 11th, which is this coming Wednesday, at 10 a.m. in the morning, is what to do when a loved one dies, and 2 in the afternoon is how not to pay for services, long-term care solutions. It's interesting because a lot of people don't know, kind of like our second caller there, exactly what happens when someone passes away, who's appointed, what power they have, what they have to share. What to do when a loved one dies is an excellent webinar to watch that takes you step by step, right? Who's in charge, how to probate a will, who they have to notify. It's, you know, it sounds really depressing, but it's not really that depressing, but it's definitely something that walks you through what you need to do. And these are recorded also, right? So if you're like, hey, I've got things to do at 10 in the morning on Wednesday, you can go on our website, which is www.herzoglaw.com, and you can watch them at your leisure because they've been pre-recorded. So if you have someone that you've appointed as executor, right? So I'm an executor under my mom's will, and I have no idea what my job's going to be, right? The mom calls up and says, hey, by the way, you're my executor, you're my power of attorney, you're my healthcare proxy. Lucky you, right? You can go on and watch What to Do When a Loved One Dies and find out what your job's going to be when the person passes away. If you want to know what your job is as power of attorney, you can log on and watch the one on advanced directives. Healthcare proxy, same thing. So if you have questions about what your responsibilities are and how things work, I've had a lot of people that they don't know the difference between community Medicaid and chronic care Medicaid, and I tell them, hey, go on the website and download the Aging in Place webinar, and you can fast forward through it if you want to, but it's great information. And you can do it at your leisure. Again, it's kind of like Netflix, right? You get something to drink, you get some popcorn, you sit and you watch them.
You can binge watch all of our webinars over the weekend. You know, really. I mean, it's like watching The Crown or reruns of Friends.
Exactly. So if you want to see live ones, again, on Wednesday, we have one at 10 in the morning, which is what to do when a loved one dies, and 2 in the afternoon, how not to pay for long-term care services. And then the week of August 16th is actually webinar week, where we're going to have on Monday, wills versus trusts, Tuesday, how to plan your estate, Wednesday, aging in place. Again, excellent one to learn about Medicaid. Thursday, advanced directives, what they are and why you need them. And then then Wednesday, August 25th, which is not in webinar week, we have estate planning for young families, which is a new one that talks about no matter how young you are, you really need to have an estate plan if you're over 18. And then we have one at 2 in the afternoon that day for top 10 reasons to plan your estate. I had an estate this week that came in, mom and a brother came in. The gentleman was 40 years old, had a brain aneurysm, and passed away. So here's his mom and his brother coming in to figure out what to do. And he had not done any planning at all. And it's just, it's something very unexpected. So these are things that you need to think about, because unfortunately, things happen.
Debbie, they do
in our estate.
We have another caller. We have Debbie in Colony.
Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning. I have two questions. I currently live in New York, and I was wondering, if I move to Florida, do I have to get a new will for Florida?
No, you don't really have to do a new will. I always tell people that if they have New York documents and they move to any state, that, you know, your will is perfectly fine, your trust is probably perfectly fine. You might want to do a new power of attorney and healthcare proxy, just because those are the things that you use more often. And if you have a New York power of attorney, it's still valid in Florida, but if they go in to use it, they'll be like, hey, let us run this by legal. Same thing with the healthcare proxy. They'll accept out-of-state documents, but you're almost better off having in-state documents. What do you think, Harry?
Absolutely. Well, as long as your New York will was validly executed in New York, it can be used in Florida. And the same thing with your trust. And Florida is a state where we have a lot of people go back and forth. They're called, you know, snowbirds. And, you know, come October, November, they're going to all start heading south when it gets chilly up here and the leaves start turning. And I have clients who go down there for the winter and they're back up here. I tell those clients, listen, you need a New York healthcare proxy and power of attorney, but you also need one in Florida. If you get sick down there or something happens, or you have to do some banking down there and you can't sign your name, so have one. And these are really inexpensive documents to put together. They're not going to cost you thousands of dollars. You know, it's going to cost a couple hundred bucks to do a healthcare proxy and a power of attorney. It's really well worth it. And then, as Debbie said, you don't run into these time delays. You go to the bank, say, oh well, you know, we got to have somebody look at this and make sure. Now you've lost maybe a day or two or something, and you know, it just makes sense. That's all.
Okay. I also was wondering, in New York State, do you have to leave property to your spouse?
Ah.
In your will?
You cannot disinherit your spouse without their permission in New York and most other states. A spouse has what's called a right of election. So in your will or your trust, if you left everything to your children and nothing to your spouse, they could file a document in court exercising the right of election, and they could take basically about a third of your estate. All right.
What spouse is incapacitated?
Is what?
Incapacitated.
Well, then someone could exercise it on their behalf. That's a situation if you have an incapacitated spouse, whether or not that requires special kinds of planning, because, among other things, we want to make sure that assets are not unnecessarily exposed to potential nursing home costs down the road if the person is incapacitated. We may need to put assets in what's called a special needs trust of some sort instead of having them go directly to the disabled, incapacitated spouse. There are a lot of issues you just raised, ma'am, by making that statement. And so, and far more than we can go into much detail on and the radio, but I would strongly suggest that you make an appointment to come in, if that's the case, and review it.
Okay.
You know, does the incapacitated spouse, does someone have power of attorney for them? You know,
yeah.
Do they have a healthcare proxy? So those are kind of things that become really important before we have a further health crisis or a medical emergency come up that require more expensive legal mechanics like guardianship proceedings and things. Most of the time, those things can be avoided with these ancillary documents, these advanced directives, like healthcare proxies and powers of attorney, which are relatively inexpensive to put in place as opposed to a formal guardianship proceeding.
And what about do we really need a will in New York State?
What, a will?
That the state of New York will give you the spouse 50% and the kids the other 50%.
If you die without a will?
Yeah.
Well, that's true. If you die without a will, the surviving spouse gets the first $50,000 and half of the rest, the other half goes to the kids. But again, if you have a spouse who is incapacitated, it is not necessarily the best estate planning to have that money go directly into the disabled spouse's name. Because if they are, for instance, on Medicaid, or they're receiving some type of governmental programs or disability, we could goof that all up by having the spouse suddenly inherit $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000. Okay, so okay. These are the things that you need to get information about, come into for a conference and a consultation, so that you know the issues that are arising. Because ordinarily, that would what you're talking about would not be the best type of estate plan.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Excellent questions, huh?
Oh, yeah. We have very, very smart listeners. We have people who are very, very intelligent listeners, and they think about these things, and they want to learn about this stuff because, you know, there's not much place. You search around the internet, and you Google stuff and things, and, you know, most of the stuff that comes up is pure garbage. You know, it's not real good. It's not real reliable. And the other thing with getting all this information on the internet is you're never actually sure if what you're getting is in conformity with the laws of this state as opposed to, you know, Maine or Florida or California or Kansas. So that's why we've been doing this show probably for about close to 40 years, I think. We started doing this. One of my partners who's retired now living in Florida started doing a radio show in the late 1970s. So we've been on various places over the years for, I think, yeah, it's got to be at least 40 years. You know? I mean, I've been doing this for probably 25 or 30. Anyway.
You're dating yourself there, Harry.
Oh, my heavens, am I dating myself. By the way, I saw this very funny thing in the paper, in an article the other day. You know, getting to be 100 these days isn't such a big deal as it used to be. Do you remember when Willard Scott used to come out with a Smucker's thing on the Today Show in the morning, and he'd honor the three people in the country that day that turned 100? Well, that's the problem is there's so many people turning 100 every day that they can barely have enough time to get them all on the air. The number of people over 100 has grown from about 53,000 in 2010 to almost 100,000 in 2020. You know? Now think of it, 100,000 people, that's about the population of the city of Albany. All over 100. Truly amazing.
Wow.
But people are living longer. Yeah.
That's why you need to make sure you have a plan.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, you need a plan because, you know, I mean, the good news is people are living longer. The bad news is 25 to 50% of people over the age of 90 suffer some dementia. All right?
True.
So with the prospect of living, you know, somebody born today probably could easily live into their 90s or 100s, you know. And those of us who are already well on our way, not you, Debbie, I'm talking about myself.
Exactly.
We need to start planning for the fact that it's possible. You know, it's really funny, it's not funny, but something like one in four people over 65 can expect to spend upwards of a year in a nursing home, all right, according to statistics. It happens. And most of them have done no planning in terms of protecting their assets from the exposure of long-term care costs. And whether or not you folks out there understand it, the average cost of a private pay nursing home in the Capital District is about $15,000 a month. That is a boatload of money for anybody. Even if you got money, that's a lot of money. And so the planning aspects here of what we what we do here, what we talk about on the radio, and what many of our clients are interested in. As Debbie said earlier in the first half hour, when the caller was asking about estate taxes, almost no one incurs estate taxes anymore. You have to have, in New York State, almost $6 million before you can incur an estate tax. And at the federal level, you have to have almost $12 million. And if you're married, you can multiply that by two before your kids are going to have to pay any estate taxes. So for most people, it is not an issue. What is an issue, and which actually today costs more than the estate taxes would have ever cost, is the prospect of looking to spending somewhere between $150,000 and $200,000 a year for private pay costs in a nursing home. And a huge focus of our estate planning practice these days is geared toward avoiding essentially bankrupting the spouse who's not in the nursing home and ultimately the family from having to go through not only the emotional turmoil of putting a parent, I don't know if any of you out there had to put your parents or your spouses in a long-term care facility, but it's an extremely difficult decision, as any of you have done that know. And then to couple that with the extraordinary, devastating news of how much money all of this costs is just more than families should go through. But the key to this is planning ahead of time while you're healthy before these things happen to you. And once I said, we would, again, love to talk to you here at the studio. Let me give you out the number again. It's 518-465. Oh, no. No, it's not.
That's the office number.
Yeah. I'm giving out the office number. That was the other call. The first caller gave him the office number. Scratch that, folks. It's 518-476-5900. Let me repeat that. 518-476-5900. There. Phew. Okay. Now.
Well, when we were talking about aging in place, right? So community Medicaid, that's one of those things that's available that no one, and every time I say no one wants to go into a nursing home, someone calls me and says, maybe they do. But anyway, so everyone wants to stay home. I know I want to stay home as long as I possibly can. I know my mom does. So when you're looking at getting some assistance in the house, right, so they just need a little help. You could apply for community Medicaid, and right now, until January of 2022, there's no look back. So what does that mean? That means that, theoretically, if you were trying to look for community Medicaid for one of your loved ones, you could transfer assets in August, and we could apply for September 1st. And that sounds crazy, but if you've got someone that has issues, right, cognitive impairment is a huge issue that people, you know, don't realize that they can actually get Medicaid to pay for care to come into the house. And as long as the person is willing to have people in their house, that's not an issue. But time is ticking away because as of January 1st, 2022, there's going to be a 2.5 year look back, 30 months. Right now, you can transfer assets 1 month and apply for community Medicaid the next month. As of January 1st, there's going to be that look back, so you wouldn't be able to transfer assets. So we need to get our planning done now, right? We need to get our planning done now for that. And if we need to apply, we obviously need to get that done fairly quickly because we don't want people coming in on December 15th going, hey, let's all get our applications in before January 1st, because even though we're really good at getting this done, that would be a little taxing.
We're not that. We're good, but you can't do it that fast. But there is this tiny little window. We got about 5 months left. You know, we're already in the first week of August, but we got a 5 month window. And if any of you out there, or if you know anyone out there, or have a relative out there who is in current need of home health care, personal care service, even if they only need 5-6 hours a day, it isn't that you need to have 24 hours a day, but if you qualify for 5-6 hours a day of personal care services, we can get you in the system. We can get the application prepared and filed before the end of the year. And then once you're in the system, you don't have to go back through, you know, if you apply for more hours 6 months or a year from now, you don't have to reapply and they don't look back at the transfers. But if, you know, starting as Deb said, in January 1st, we're going to be looking back to October of last year. And if you made in October of 2020, and if you made any transfers, they're going to affect your ability not only for chronic care at a nursing home, but also for personal care services at your home.
Harry, Debbie, we have another caller. Mm-hmm. We have Sheila in Schenectady.
Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning. I'd like to find out, does a beneficiary have the right to see a purchase agreement prior to the sale of a closing?
So you're a beneficiary of a trust or a will or what?
No, of an estate.
Of an estate. Well, so there's an executor?
Yes.
Go ahead, Harry.
Well, the executor is the person, we had another call earlier in the first half hour, but the executor is the person who is legally in charge of selling the property that is part of the estate. And so, you know, I don't know, strictly speaking, that you're legally entitled to see a copy of the contract, but, I mean, ordinarily, the executive would provide this information to the beneficiaries to you know, let them know. I mean, for instance, if you think the house is being sold for a lot less than it's worth, hopefully the executor's got an appraisal from someone and that they just didn't pick a number out of thin air, you know.
Exactly.
Because ultimately this person is legally accountable to you. And if they don't show you the contract of sale, at some point down the road, you're going to be asked to sign what's called a receipt and release, which acknowledges that you have received everything you're supposed to get from the estate, and you're releasing the executor from any liability to you. And among other things, as part of that accounting proceeding, I would want to see not only the contract, but an appraisal of the property. Okay? So, and if that's not forthcoming, I would want to know why. Why didn't you get an appraisal? And, you know, so these are issues that come up. If you're not getting any cooperation from the executor, I would see if I could get a hold of the attorney who's handling the estate, if there is one. And if not, at some point, somebody would have to ask you to sign off on things. And at that point, as a beneficiary of the estate, you are, at least in New York, you are legally entitled to ask the executor to give you an accounting of everything they've done with all the property that came through the estate, what they took in, what they spent, what they sold, and what's left. And until you do that, he or she is on the hook.
Well, it says that I have to sign a signature addendum to a closing statement, but I never saw the closing statement.
Well, then you're entitled to that information. I would say, you bet. Yep.
You know, thanks for the call on that. And you should probably contact the attorney that's taking care of these things, because you are entitled to get information, but what you need to understand, like Harry said, the executor, trustee, whoever that is, has a fiduciary duty to the beneficiaries. But again, if there's 10 beneficiaries and everybody starts calling the attorney, that's going to chop up some of the money that's going to come from the house sale, because they're going to charge you for their time.
Good answer, Deb. Yeah, you don't want to have 10 people. Again, you got the 10 time entries. I mean, but again, this is the same thing we had in the other call. There, somewhere along the line, there's been a breakdown of communication between the executor and the beneficiaries, and that's a problem that should be easily rectifiable. And if not by the executor, then I mean, when we handle an estate like that in our office, normally what we would do is we would send a letter out to all the beneficiaries. You know, it's the same letter. It's got 10 different addresses on it. And tell you what's going on in the estate. Here's what's happening. We have a house that's being sold. It's blah, 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 blah. Here's an appraisal, or here's the assessed, or whatever. And explain to the beneficiaries what's going on, what the approximate time frame is for administering and settling the estate. And then people aren't sitting around saying, oh, what's going on? I haven't heard from anybody. I haven't heard from my brother in 6 months. I wonder what's going on with my mother's estate. And everybody's in the dark. Well, that's not the way to handle the administration of someone's estate. Plain and simple.
Harry, Debbie, just wanted to jump in. A woman called while our last caller was on the air. I didn't think we were going to be able to get to her. She just wanted to thank your firm. She spoke to you guys on the air about 5 or 6 years ago and was looking for information for her mom, and you guys put her on with an attorney, and everything worked out really well, and she just wanted to thank you for that. So I just want to pass it along. You know, sometimes you don't hear that other end of it where it actually works out and everything goes great.
So you guys
are aware that she was very pleased and appreciative of your help when she called. So
that's awesome.
Well, that's great. That's what we're here for. You know, you're here to, you know, that's what the show's all about. It's a question and answer show. It is completely, live and unrehearsed, isn't it, Deb?
It is. Totally on the fly.
We never know when we come in here in the morning, on Saturday morning. Other than the 7 second delay, there's really nothing between us and the audience here. And we never know what people. These calls are not pre-screened, as you can tell. We take calls about anything and any subjects that are related to the general area of estate planning and estate administration. And it's fun. It's great for us because, you know, it keeps us sharp, too. It keeps us on our toes and able to answer questions and converse about these things. And I think a lot of times the problem that a lot of people have with law firms and lawyers is that they don't talk in English. They don't talk in language that an average intelligent person who's not a lawyer can understand. And I think in our office has always been the goal to try to take what are essentially fairly complex legal concepts and break them down into steps and processes that, you know, ordinary people who are very smart but aren't lawyers can understand and make sense out of. More and more people I've seen come out of their lawyer's office and say, I have no idea what he or she just told me. I'm even more confused than when I went in.
Which is why they should go on our website and watch the webinars. So you guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.